Eeyore.
Chapter 39. Hello, my name is Professor Smadar Rosenzweig. Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we will be studying Sefer Eeyore, Perek Lamed Tet, Chapter 39. To recap Chapter 38, God told Eov that he is speaking without real knowledge of the universe. God asks him, "Where were you when I created the earth?" And the whole chapter speaks about God's ineffable power in creating the earth, the sea, the day, the night, the rain, the dew, the ice, the constellations, the clouds, the lightning. In short, God says he created the universe and the secrets of nature. And who is Eov in comparison to that? Now, this is not a direct answer to Eov's question of his suffering. Eov asked God, "Why am I suffering? How is this just? What did I do?" This doesn't answer that question. We saw a similar theme when God comes to console the Jewish people after the destruction of the first temple. In Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 40, the chapter that begins the cycle of consolations that we read after the ninth of Av, the fast day to commemorate the destruction of the temple, we saw a very similar response. God answered there, "I run the world, and I control the constellations and the firmament and all the heavens, and no one is missing. I care about everyone and everything." God didn't explain why the destruction happened in that chapter, and not in any of the chapters that are the consolation chapters, the ones that we read during the weeks after Tisha B'Av. Just that God is in control, and that is the nechama, the comfort. Life is not random, says God, and the destruction of the temple was an act of God. Just like the destruction happened, the consolation will happen. But God does not explain himself. A corollary, and we saw with Eov, is that Eov's suffering is an act of God, but not a punishment necessarily. And we don't understand all of God's actions, but God is running the world. In our chapter, God continues to enumerate his awesome power in the creation of the animal kingdom. This topic begins in the last few verses of the last chapter, in chapter 38. The division of the verses, the psukim, the patuach, open, and sagur, closed paragraphs, ptucha ustuma, and the parshiot in the Torah are a Jewish Masoretic tradition. However, the chapters notation in the Bible are a Christian addition. When the Christians were involved with the Jews in polemics, in religious arguments, they divided the books of the Bible into chapters so they would be able to find the texts under discussion. Because it was an added easy way to find different ideas, it stayed. But that's why not every parsha begins with a new chapter. And the haftarot, the prophetic readings on Shabbat and holidays, rarely begin in the beginning of a chapter because it's really a late addition. Getting back to Eov. In our chapter, God describes the intricate biodiversity web of the entire world, all the different animals, the lion, the raven, the goats, the gazelles, the donkey, the ox, the birds, the horses, hawks, and eagles. These descriptions are very detailed and show the rough and untamed aspects of nature, very different than the creation in Genesis in Bereshit. Here, one of the big messages of the chapter is that life is very messy. Verse 27. Im al picha yagbia nesher v'chi yarim kino? Does the eagle soar at your command, Eov, building his nest high? Sela yishkon v'yitlonan al shen sela umtsuda? He dwells in the rock, lodging upon the fastness of a jutting rock. Misham chafar ochel lemerachok einav yabitu, and from there he spies out his food. From afar his eyes see it. Ve'efrochav ye'al u dam uva'asher chalalim shamhu. And the young of the eagle, they gulp and slurp blood. Where the slain animals are, that's where the eagle is. How is this a good answer to Eov? God describing nature and the messiness of nature. Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Rav, lovingly described, explained that the religious experience was never a smooth one. In his Ish HaLacha, Halachic Man, the Rav states in note 4 that the religious consciousness in man's experience, which is most profound and most elevated, which penetrates to the very depths and ascends to the very heights, is not simple and comfortable. On the contrary, it is exceptionally complex, rigorous, and tortuous. Where you find its complexity, there you find its greatness. The religious experience from beginning to end is antinomic and antithetical. Religion is not simply a refuge of grace and mercy for the despondent and desperate, an enchanted stream for crushed spirits, but it is a raging, clamorous torrent of man's consciousness with all its crises, pangs, and torments. In other words, religion and life are not a smooth sail on a calm sea. It could be clamorous and tormented. The Rav continues, the pangs of searching and groping, the torture of spiritual crisis, and exhausting treks of the soul purify and sanctify man, cleanse his thoughts, and purge them from the husks of superficiality. Out of these torments, there emerges a new understanding of the world, a powerful spiritual enthusiasm that shakes the very foundation of man's existence. To live a religious life, says the Rav, is to live a life full of spiritual challenges and to experience difficulties. These experiences profoundly shape us and lead us to a closer relationship with God and to a new understanding of the world. God is telling Eov that the world is his creation, and all the unusual behaviors of the animals are testament to the unfathomable secrets of how the world works. On the surface, it might seem haphazard, but it is not. The world has its own order, and God rules everything and is in control of everything. Leit atar panui minei. No space is empty of God. Again, God is telling Eov, you don't understand the world and all its intricacies, but make sure that you know that I run it, all of it, and that you should understand the importance of God's imminence in the world. The next chapter will continue God's answer to Eov. And we will again ask the question, will it continue this same theme, or will God put in some details about his trial of Eov, or why he chose this, or how God tries man? Maybe those would be comforting for Eov to know why this happened to him. Will God tell him? We're going to see in the next few chapters. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.